Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
Social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Thinkorswim by TD Ameritrade isn't just a trading platform. It's an entire trading experience with innovative tools and services at your fingertips. It just might change how you trade forever. Experience the next evolution of you as a trader at thinkorswim.com.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we recap the 2023 NBA draft. Plus, we look at the Boston Celtics getting Kristaps Porzingis, also the Golden State Warriors getting Chris Paul, and the Phoenix Suns getting Bradley Beal in big-time trades. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
The latest and greatest can always be found at Weiler Plastic Surgery. We're excited to introduce Elicor, a brand new device that tightens skin without scarring. Get the visible results you've been wanting without surgery. Schedule your Elicor consultation today.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of your boat cruising along the intercoastal. And there's the sound of the prop hitting a really big rock. And now the sound of waves because the engine stopped. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Progressive covers pets in our auto policy at no extra charge. Now, let's see what your dog has to say.
As a dog, I think Progressive's auto pet policy is... Oh, what is that? That's just my tail. Weird. Anyway, Progressive protects... There it is again. See? This is why I need protection. I'm so distracted. Nope, that is still my tail.
Progressive Auto Insurance covers pets for up to $1,000 in a car accident at no extra charge. And we think your dog would say that's great, too. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
With the first pick in the 2023 NBA Draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Victor Wembanyama from Nantes, France.
This is accomplishing something that I've been dreaming of, you know, my whole life. Hearing that sentence from Adam Silver, you know, I've dreamed of it so much that, you know, I gotta cry, man.
That's amazing. We are so proud. We are very happy for you. We are happy for the family, for the friends, for everything, for the basketball. That's so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that I was gonna have tears because every time I thought about this sentence, like with the first pick and everything, I got this little tears in my eyes, and I knew that I wasn't gonna let them in my eyes. Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
You know, it's a tough league. It's tough to win this league. You know, many players have tried to win for years, for decades, and haven't made it. So my goal is I'm going to try and learn as quick as possible because I want to win that ring.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of ESPN, ABC, and the Walt Disney Company, and you heard NBA Commissioner Adam Silver announce the number one overall pick in the 2023 NBA Draft, the San Antonio Spurs selecting center Victor Wembanyama out of France. And certainly it's the new dawn of a new era, not just for the San Antonio Spurs, but most importantly, a new era in the NBA. And to talk more about some of the draft picks in the first round of the 2023 NBA draft, let's bring him back onto the program. He is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball at Nets Republic, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the program, my man.
Ed, thank you for having me back on the program. What a wild, wild night. And as you already said, the future of the NBA changed last night, and it'll be really fascinating to break it down and fascinating to see how these picks, you know, pan out over the next few seasons.
Absolutely. You're right about that, Nick. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. The dawn of a new era in the NBA is here, and also a new era for the San Antonio Spurs. The number one overall pick, the wait is over. Victor Wembanyama, drafted by the San Antonio Spurs out of France. Give me your thoughts on Victor heading to San Antonio.
This has almost felt like star-crossed destiny since the moment the Spurs won the number one overall pick in draft lottery. I mean, you know, with Victor Wembanyama, you're talking about someone who's been one of the prospects to watch out for since he was, you know, 15, 16 years old. I mean, he is, you know, people throw around the word generational a lot when it comes to draft prospects. Victor Wembanyama is generational. I mean, I don't think we've seen a prospect like this arguably since LeBron James. And, you know, the fact that he goes to San Antonio, which not only has an incredible basketball history and not only has an incredible history of big men with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, but also is a team that's incredibly important to the nation of France. I mean, Tony Parker, Hall of Famer for the San Antonio Spurs, made that team incredibly important to, you know, the French people and to basketball in France. So, you know, there are pictures of Victor Wembanyama as a kid going around, you know, training in a Spurs jersey. This is a team that means a lot to the country, and, you know, Victor Wembanyama has a chance to be one of the faces of the NBA for the next 20 years, and it just seems so fitting that he'll be doing it for a team in San Antonio that has such a storied history of, you know, French players with Tony Parker, also Boris Diaw, of course, and also such a storied history with, you know, top-tier big men in Tim Duncan and David Robinson, two of the best big men to ever play the game. So, you know, there's a lot of ways in which it almost feels destined that Victor Wembanyama ended up there, but it was really cool to see him hear his name called first overall on draft night.
I want to stay just with Victor for a moment. You mentioned about San Antonio and their great history of French players with Tony Parker and Boris Diaw, but we've also seen San Antonio within the last several decades or so and the great response that they've had with international players, with a Tony Parker and a Boris Diaw and Tim Duncan and also Manu Ginobili and as recently as Jeremy Sochan. How do you think Victor is going to adjust with this international landscape of players in San Antonio?
To be honest, I think that Victor is the kind of player and person who would have adjusted incredibly well to whatever environment he ended up in. But, you know, even with that being said, this is just a spectacular fit for him all around. I mean, he gets to learn from Greg Popovich in his twilight years, and he's also going to San Antonio with another French player in Sidy Sissoko, going from the G League Ignite to the San Antonio Spurs with the 44th pick. I mean, again, you know, Victor is just the kind of person who comes across as someone who would put his head down and work incredibly hard and be the best player he could be no matter where he ended up. But it's even easier to see him just hitting the absolute peak of his potential in a place like San Antonio as opposed to, you know, maybe a team or a situation that had less experience with international players, less experience with superstar big men, you know, any of the above. The San Antonio Spurs are more than prepared to handle the Victor Wembanyama experience, and certainly seems like he's incredibly happy to be going there.
You mentioned about Greg Popovich, and we talk about the great coaches in NBA history with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and Phil Jackson, and also with Red Auerbach, just to name a few, but with Wemby coming to San Antonio as a rookie, how important will Coach Popovich be in terms of being a father figure to him with Victor being a rookie in San Antonio?
I think it'll be exceptionally important. I mean, again, you know, Greg Popovich, arguably the greatest coach to ever coach, you know, in the NBA, and he gets the opportunity as, you know, probably one of his last projects in San Antonio. I mean, there have been rumors about Popovich maybe hanging it up for a few years now. You know, I'm sure that he is very re-energized to have Victor Wembanyama back in the building after, you know, a couple of middling years. Middling is, I think, being generous for the last two Spurs seasons. But, yeah, I mean, certainly it'll be easy to see Greg Popovich being revitalized by this. And I'm sure he is ecstatic to get the opportunity to lead Victor Wembanyama's future in the NBA, or at least the first 2 years of his NBA career. I mean, again, it's a team and a coach that has a storied legacy of coaching up players just like Victor Wembanyama in pretty much every facet that you can think of for Victor Wembanyama. So just a great match of player and team, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out.
I'm excited, too, and the future is indeed bright in San Antonio as the number one overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama, drafted by the San Antonio Spurs out of France. All right, two picks I want to talk about briefly. So the number two overall pick, we had Brandon Miller out of the University of Alabama going to the Charlotte Hornets, and Scoot Henderson, who really lit it up in the G League Ignite, headed to the Portland Trail Blazers. An interesting move by Portland, because with talks about Damian Lillard may have been traded, maybe wanting out, but Scoot going to Portland, that could change some things around. So just give me your thoughts on Brandon going to Charlotte and Scoot heading to Portland.
So I have been pretty firm as Scoot Henderson being the number two prospect in this class basically all season long. I think in most other drafts in the last 10 years, Scoot would be in serious consideration to be the number one overall pick. So, I mean, for Portland to pick him up at three, I think is a huge steal for them, to be entirely honest. I mean, Brandon Miller is a very solid prospect, and I think he'll have, you know, a solid future in Charlotte. But ultimately, I'm just that much higher on Scoot Henderson than I am on Brandon Miller. So, you know, I think that it makes sense for Charlotte to not go in the direction of point guard with LaMelo Ball kind of being the, you know, face of the franchise at this point. So I get the idea of Brandon Miller being a much better fit in Charlotte than Scoot Henderson. But again, I'm just so high on Scoot Henderson. I think he's going to be an absolutely spectacular player. And I think Portland got a real steal here. And, you know, there are definitely going to be concerns with, you know, how Damian Lillard is going to feel about all of it. But honestly, I don't think Portland could have found a better successor for Damian Lillard than Scoot Henderson. And I hope that Dame sticks around in Portland at least long enough to spend some time playing with Scoot, because not only do I think he would be a wonderful mentor for Scoot Henderson, but I think the two of them could play together a lot better than maybe some are thinking, and maybe Dame is one of those people. But just love the Portland pick up there with Scoot Henderson. And, you know, it makes sense why Charlotte went the route they did, but if I were in their shoes, I would have taken Scoot and not been thinking about it all that much.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, with Brandon Miller heading over to Charlotte, that's going to be nice. But I think with Scoot, as you were saying earlier, Nick, Scoot and heading over to Portland is going to be interesting with Damian Lillard. And don't forget, Yusuf Nurkic is coming back from injury as well. So that'd certainly be interesting. And with Anthony Simons in the mix as well. So definitely those guys headed to their respective teams. One of the great storylines of this year's draft were the Thompson twins, Amen and Asar. Amen Thompson headed to Houston, certainly going to be in an athletic squad with Houston with Ime Udoka in his first year as head coach of the Rockets. And then Asar Thompson heading over to the Detroit Pistons, where you've got Monty Williams in his first year at the helm as head coach of the Pistons. And certainly Detroit's got a young nucleus with Cade Cunningham, also Jalen Duren, just to name a few. And just give me your thoughts on Amen going to Houston and Asar going to Detroit.
So with Amen going to the Houston Rockets, I think that pick makes a ton of sense. I mean, they're a team that desperately needed point guard help and playmaking help last season. And Amen Thompson's a spectacular playmaker and will instantly be one of the best athletes in the NBA. I mean, he and Jalen Green are going to be one of the most athletic backcourts in the league, maybe ever, honestly. I mean, the two of them are just absolute top-tier elite of the elite athletes. So that'll be a ton of fun to watch. And with Asar going to Detroit, I think that pick makes a lot of sense for Detroit. I mean, with Asar, you're getting someone who has a lot of experience, you know, playing alongside a lead playmaker in his twin brother. And I think he's going to fit incredibly well alongside Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. You know, he'll provide a lot of transition offense. He'll provide a lot of defensive help. And you know, Asar's not quite the athlete that Amen is, but he's still going to be, you know, in the top tier of NBA athletes. So I think those are two really good fits for the Thompson twins. You know, there might have been some talk about them sliding down further, depending on, you know, which teams were looking at them in particular. But I think for them to go 4 and 5 to Houston and Detroit makes a lot of sense for both twins and the teams that they're going to.
All right, I want to move over now to the 6th overall pick, which belonged to the Orlando Magic, and they drafted Anthony Black out of the University of Arkansas. This is interesting because Orlando, listen, they've got the reigning league rookie of the year with Paolo Banchero. Also, they've got some great young talent on that roster with the likes of Franz Wagner. Also, Cole Anthony is there, Jalen Suggs. So it's a that team is loaded with a lot of young talent. Give me your thoughts on Anthony going to Orlando.
It makes a lot of sense in that Anthony Black, ton of the boxes that the Orlando Magic look for. I mean, this is a team that over the past few years has consistently just drafted positional size, and Anthony Black as a 6'7 point guard is definitely, you know, good size at that position. And I'm sure Orlando is going to want to rely on him, you know, as a defensive stopper and also as someone who can move the ball on offense without necessarily needing the ball in his hands all the time. I mean, there are concerns about him as a spot-up shooter, him as a shooter in general. But, you know, I think based on the kind of archetype of players that the Orlando Magic tend to take, it makes a lot of sense for Anthony Black to be able to take care of 6.
All right, and let's move along now to the number 7 overall pick. So we saw Victor Wembanyama, number 1 overall, drafted out of France. Well, his teammate, Bilal Coulibaly, was originally drafted by the Indiana Pacers, but he was later traded to the Washington Wizards, and the Wizards made all sorts of moves with the Chris Paul, Jordan Poole deal, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But give me your thoughts on Bilal, drafted by Indiana, but being later traded to the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, this is a home run swing for Washington. I mean, ultimately, there are teams that, you know, just traded away Bradley Beal, just traded away Kristaps Porzingis. You know, they are essentially going through a full rebuild at this point. You know, some might argue a few years too late, but, you know, they're definitely going through that rebuilding process. And with Coulibaly, you're getting someone who has one of the highest upsides in this draft. I'm concerned about the floor with him. I think, you know, if he doesn't sort of turn his shot around, then he's someone who I think could really struggle, especially his first couple of years in the NBA. But ultimately, I mean, when he did have the ball in his hands, he showed some really exciting flashes throughout the course of this last season. So it's Washington just taking the biggest home run swing they could get. And, you know, if it works out for them, then it's going to look like a spectacular pick. And if it doesn't, I mean, this is year one of the rebuild, and they're just taking the biggest chance they could get here.
All right, and then there's a couple of other picks that I want to discuss briefly in this first round. Jet Howard, again, we talked about the Orlando Magic and that young talent that they have, and they drafted Anthony Black out of Arkansas. Well, Jet, again, going to Orlando. Well, it was originally Chicago's pick, but Orlando wind up drafting Jet out of Michigan. Of course, this is Juwan Howard's son, Jet Howard. So just give me your thoughts on Jet headed to Orlando.
I love this selection by the Orlando Magic. I mean, they're a team that desperately needed three-point shooting. And, you know, when they took Anthony Black with the 6th overall pick, it was kind of something that I wasn't particularly surprised by. But given what the team needed, I was a bit curious about them taking essentially a non-shooter in Anthony Black. And they did the opposite here with Jet Howard. I mean, he's someone who has real playmaking touch, who, you know, is an incredible shooter off movement, off the catch. And he is someone who, you know, was considered – by many, a top 10 pick throughout the first couple months of the season. Then he had injuries to both ankles, and, you know, his season sort of went downhill from there, and he started to slide down many people's boards, but I confidently had Jet Howard in my top 10 all season long. I think this is a fantastic pickup by the Orlando Magic.
You know what, Nick, one of the great fashion statements of the night was clearly Grady Dick. And Grady was the great sensation out of the University of Kansas, and he was drafted by the Toronto Raptors. And certainly this was, in my opinion, a great steal for Toronto, because with the exit of Fred VanVleet and, of course, the Raptors needing some shooters, this is a home run for Toronto. Give me your thoughts on Grady heading to Toronto.
Yeah, it's really interesting because picks 11, 14, there were three of the best shooters in the draft went off the board in those three picks with Jet Howard and then Grady Dick to Toronto at 13 and Jordan Hawkins one pick later to the New Orleans Pelicans. With Grady Dick, I mean, Toronto, they've famously had Project 6-9 where they, try and get big sort of switchable wing archetypes, and Grady Dick fits in pretty well with that. I mean, he's 6'8", he's one of the best shooters in the draft, as you mentioned. Not quite as good off movement as either Howard or Hawkins. Jordan Hawkins in particular is, one of the best off-ball movement players I've scouted, to be entirely honest. But, with Grady Dick, you're getting someone who, 40% from three at Kansas on six attempts per game. Certainly someone with a very colorful personality, as we saw with his choice of draft night suit, as you mentioned. But this is a Toronto team that needed shooting, and Grady Dick provides that shooting with some size, which, also tends to sort of fall into Toronto's wheelhouse. So that's another pick that made a lot of sense to me.
And certainly I think another pick that made a lot of sense to me, the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, they needed a guard that was going to get them some scoring. And Jordan Hawkins off of the recent national championship team, the UConn Huskies. And when we talk about guards for the Pelicans, we talk about Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado, guys that are so strong defensively, but they really don't bring enough on the offensive side. And again, I think this was a steal for New Orleans to get Jordan Hawkins. Give me your thoughts on Hawkins going to New Orleans.
I couldn't agree more. I adore Jordan Hawkins, and I was genuinely so happy to see how moved he was by being selected by the Pelicans on draft night at 14. And with Hawkins, I mean, you get someone who put up the ninth most three-point attempts in NCAA basketball this past season and knocked down 39% of them. Just ridiculous shooter. I mean, took some of the most difficult attempts you'll ever see any college basketball player take, off movement, 25 feet, 30 feet from the basket, just incredible, incredible shooter. Does need to improve as a driver and finisher, and some people have more questions about his defense than I do. I think Jordan Hawkins is going to be an average defender sooner rather than later, and I think he has a really strong chance to be a genuinely good defender. And when you combine that with his absolutely ridiculous three-point shooting and his athletic tools, I think he'll be an incredible get for the New Orleans Pelicans at 14. And if he can get a little bit better at, combining his incredible athleticism with slightly improved game in terms of driving to the basket, he'll look like one of the best players in this draft.
Absolutely. And I think another steal in this first round was for the Miami Heat. They wind up selecting Jaime Jaquez from UCLA. And certainly, one of the things that Miami missed during this recent NBA Finals run was they didn't get enough points in the paint. I mean, Bam Adebayo did his thing, but adding Jaime, I mean, that's going to prove big dividends because he looks like a guy that fits into a Pat Riley or Eric Spoelstra system and someone that's tough, can rebound, give you the defense and points in the paint. Give me your thoughts on Jaime headed to Miami.
Man, this is wonderful. I get to cover two of my favorite prospects in the draft back-to-back. I have been a huge fan of Jaime Jaquez since his sophomore season at UCLA, and I don't think there could possibly have been a better fit for Heat culture in this draft than Jaime Jaquez. He's someone who works incredibly hard at both ends of the floor, has a really polished post-game, mid-range game, really crafty getting to the basket. People underrate how incredible of an athlete he is. He was in, I think, the top 10 of vertical leap at the combine, and he's someone who all the intel said has just been absolutely murdering people during workouts, which does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. Jaime Jaquez is an incredibly well-rounded basketball player, and I am fully expecting him to be a mainstay in the Miami Heat rotation for years to come.
Absolutely. He fits in nicely in that rotation for the Heat and just that style of play that they play. Are there any other players in the first round or the second round, Nick, that caught your eye that you want to go more into detail about?
So I do, of course, have to mention the Sacramento Kings as a Kings fan. And, they did trade out of the 24th pick to essentially offload Rashawn Holmes' salary, which I think I'm going to give an incomplete grade for that just because we don't know what the Kings are going to do with that cap space, what they're planning to do with that cap space. But in terms of players they actually picked up, I mean, they've managed to trade for Colby Jones, who the Hornets drafted at 34th. And I had Colby Jones as a pretty clear first-round prospect in my book, so I'm very happy about that pick. He's just a jack-of-all-trades, kind of all-around player who you can expect to rely on for defense. He really improved as a shooter this past season at Xavier, so I love that pickup by the Sacramento Kings. You know, not as pleased with them trading out of 24, but that's more of a wait and see, depending on what they do with the cap space they got there. Some of my other favorites, I mean, I think that the Denver Nuggets picking up Julian Strother is just a home run for them. He's someone who, you know, similar to Hawkins, can shoot, you know, all the way out to, like, parking lot range. And he's someone who will definitely be a huge pickup for Denver. I expect him, just like Christian Brown, who we, you know, talked about recently, I expect Julian Strother to find a role in the Denver rotation sooner rather than later. So love that pickup. And then last of all, I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis was a first-round pick. The Warriors essentially grabbed him for nothing. They basically got the 57th pick from the Wizards as a sort of revision to that Chris Paul-Jordan Poole trade. And they pick up a guy who I had a first-round grade on, who's one of the best passing big men, if not the best passing big man in this class. Just incredible strides forward as a playmaker this past season. I think he is someone who is going to fit in perfectly with the Warriors rotation. I mean, you slot him in along with Kevon Looney and Draymond Green, and him getting to learn from those two guys, I think, will just take his career even further forward. So I'm stunned that Trayce Jackson-Davis fell all the way to 57th, and I am quite confident the Golden State Warriors will find good use for him sooner rather than later.
All right, and that takes care of the 2023 NBA draft. What were your thoughts, Nick, on just the atmosphere in Brooklyn for this year's draft?
It was interesting. I mean, certainly my favorite part of draft night is, you know, other than when the Kings make a good pick. But no, in all seriousness, my favorite part of draft night is just, you know, watching these young men's dreams come true. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, no matter the environment, it's always going to shine through of just how wonderful it is to see people's dreams come true, you know, live on air, right? And I don't know. I mean, there were certainly some hiccups with the sort of draft production this year, a lot of confusion around trades and who was going where. And Adrian Wojnarowski, you know, said before the draft that he was not going to be breaking picks, that he was mostly going to be breaking down trades on the broadcast. And even then, there was sort of a lot of spotty info about which trades were being made when, who was going where, all of that. So Brooklyn is a venue. I mean, I was at the draft in person 6 years ago, so I've, you know, been live at the Barclays experience for draft night, and it's been an incredible experience. But there were some sort of weird parts of this year that had nothing to do with, you know, the venue or the draft being held in Brooklyn, but rather just a lot of weird production stuff that, you know, it seemed like the NBA was making an effort to try and clean up this year, and it almost seemed more confusing than it had in past years, which was not the direction that I think they wanted things to go.
All right, rightfully so. And, you know, speaking of things that were confusing, even before the draft, there were so many trades and so many things that had happened. So I want to get right to Kristaps Porzingis. For better or for worse, when Stapps is healthy, he's one of the top scorers in the league. He's never been known for his defense, and he's never been known to be healthy, but he's known for his offense and getting buckets when necessary. The Washington Wizards traded Kristaps to the Boston Celtics as part of a three-team deal that sent Marcus Smart, which I'm a little heartbroken about that, to the Memphis Grizzlies, and Tyus Jones to the Washington Wizards. So Boston's going to get a first round pick in this year's draft, and they're going to get a 2024 first round pick next year from Memphis. And then Washington's going to get Danilo Gallinari along with Mike Muscala. I want to start off with Boston for a moment. What are your thoughts on Kristaps headed to Boston?
I mean, it is a gamble. It is a big, big gamble. And, you know, having spoken to a few Celtics fans, you know, one of my No Feelings colleagues in particular over the last couple of days, there are a lot of Boston fans who, you know, think that maybe the trade, you know, made sense from a sort of on-court, you know, obvious basketball directly perspective, but there are a lot of fans who are worried about the effect on the locker room. And Marcus Smart has been, you know, a mainstay for the Celtics for the past decade, pretty much. I mean, his 9 seasons in Boston, he made the playoffs every year, won Defensive Player of the Year award, became a huge fan favorite. And, you know, especially given how many weird sort of rumblings there have been around the Celtics locker room the past couple of years, to get rid of the guy who was the clear clubhouse leader on that front, it seems like a strange choice personality-wise. I mean, you know, basketball-wise, I get why after, you know, sort of disappointing these past couple seasons in the playoffs that they want to try and shake things up and take a chance. And, you know, given that Kristaps had one of the best seasons of his career this past season in Washington, you know, I get why Boston wants to take that chance, especially after Marcus Smart had a bit of a down year. But I don't know what it's going to look like in that locker room. And I think, you know, there's a lot of this stuff behind the scenes that, you know, I don't particularly have insight into. But, you know, basketball-wise, I understand why they did it. But in terms of the locker room, I'm worried that this could sour things very quickly in Boston.
I'm worried too, man. And when I think of Marcus Smart, I think of, you know, Draymond Green is the heart and soul and the voice. He's the emotional leader of the Golden State Warriors. And the same, I thought, could be said for Marcus Smart as pertains to the Boston Celtics. I mean, here's a guy that dyed his hair green. I mean, to show his loyalty, I mean, he was so loyal to that city for 9 seasons. And certainly, I'm like you, Nick, I think that locker room is definitely going to have a different feel this year. I understand Porzingis is a big man that can put points on the board, but wow, with Marcus Smart being traded, when I heard the deal go down, I was like, man, I was so disappointed. But as they say, man, it's business, and we won't really find out until September when preseason starts. But we've got Kristaps going to Boston, and now we've got CP3, Chris Paul, going to the Golden State Warriors. So give me your thoughts on Chris Paul going to Golden State.
So with Chris Paul going to the Warriors, there's sort of the interesting element of how exactly does this guy fit in when Chris Paul, you know, you and I have waxed eloquent about our, you know, respect and love for Chris Paul's game before, but he's ultimately someone who, you know, really controls and runs the offense. And in Golden State, you know, it's so much about ball movement and player movement and, you know, not having the ball stick in one place for too long. It's going to be very interesting to see how Chris Paul adjusts. You know, the flip side, of course, is that, you know, this is someone who, you know, as recently as a couple of seasons ago, was all-star, potentially all-NBA type guy who now is essentially going to be, you know, either the backup point guard, you know, they're going to maybe try something weird running him, Steph, and Clay out, I guess. I don't know. It'll be interesting to sort of see how the fit works on that front and where Chris Paul fits into the rotation. But I'm interested to see how he fits into the Warriors system because it's a very different sort of system to essentially the system that Chris Paul has played his entire career, which is we're going to give the ball to Chris Paul and let him figure things out.
You know, and it's going to be interesting how they figure this whole thing out. I know somebody that's going to figure it out in no time in Washington is Jordan Poole. So now Jordan, we know about the whole fiasco that went down last year, him and Draymond. Things were never the same after that, but now he gets a fresh start on the East Coast to play for a team that's rebuilding, that's being re-energized and being recharged. Give me your thoughts on Jordan being a member of the Washington Wizards.
It'll be really interesting. I mean, Jordan Poole, you know, after a very, very difficult season for him, is now going to a team where he's essentially the big man on campus. I mean, I am not going to be surprised at all if Jordan Poole is taking more field goal attempts than almost anyone else in the NBA next season. I think that the Wizards are essentially going to say, all right, Jordan, you know, take the ball and see what you can do with it. Because, you know, in his best moments at Golden State, you know, when he was sort of getting the ball as a microwave six-man type scorer off the bench, you know, he really added an element to that Warriors offense. And with him going to Washington, he's going from an environment where, you know, he was even at best like the third priority on offense behind Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Now he's going to an environment where he's the clear number one guy, and furthermore, there isn't really a clear number two guy behind him other than maybe Bilal Coulibaly, who they literally just picked up in the draft. I think Jordan Poole will put up a lot of shots next season. I would not be surprised at all if he's a 20-point-a-game scorer. I would not particularly be surprised if he's a 25-point-a-game scorer, but it'll be interesting to see exactly how efficient he is because I don't think there's going to be anybody reining in his shot selection by any means.
rightfully so. This should be I guess you could say this could be a come up year for Jordan Poole as he makes his way to the East Coast playing for the Washington Wizards. And also coming up in the trade deadline, Bradley Beal. Listen, we know that Bradley, his game has been phenomenal, one of the top scorers in the history of the NBA. And now it seems as though that Bradley on his way to the West Coast going to be playing alongside Devin Booker and Kevin Durant with the Phoenix Suns. Give me your thoughts on Bradley headed to the desert.
So the Suns got a spectacular deal for Bradley Beal because he had a no trade clause and, you know, essentially forced the Wizards into making that move with the Phoenix Suns. But on the Suns front, they made a sizable gamble here. I mean, not to be underrated, the size of the gamble that they took here. They've essentially mortgaged their draft future through 2030. I mean, they have either pick swaps or the picks outright going to other teams from now until 2030. And, you know, with Kevin Durant, you know, nearing his mid-30s, right, in his mid-30s, there's a pretty short timeline on this team as a championship contender. And Bradley Beal definitely raises the ceiling. It makes it a lot easier, you know, in my mind, to see the Phoenix Suns coming out on top at the end of the next NBA season. But if it doesn't work out, I mean, things could get pretty ugly pretty quickly in Phoenix. I mean, Devin Booker, you know, still in his prime years, you know, he'll have, you know, 5, maybe 10 more seasons of really, really great basketball in him. But, I mean, you know, Beal's on the wrong side of 30, and Kevin Durant's in his mid-30s at this point. So this is a team that is built very, very specifically for the next two seasons. And, you know, they could very well win a championship in those two seasons, and all of this will look brilliant on their part. But if they don't have really remarkable success in the next two or three seasons, this could start looking dicey for Phoenix, you know, within the next 4 or 5 years.
All right, I got to ask you this, Nick. Who had the best trade and why, and who had the worst trade and why?
That's a good question. This is kind of strange to say, but I think the best trade might have been by the Indiana Pacers with the Washington Wizards. They essentially picked up 2 second-round picks for free. I mean, they got Jarris Walker, who was clearly the best fit for them. You know, he'd been mocked pretty consistently to them at 7, and I personally adore Jarris Walker as a prospect. I had him 4th on my personal board for the 2023 NBA draft. And, I mean, basically Indiana sacrificed essentially nothing. They drafted the guys that they knew the Wizards really, really, really wanted to get as the 8th pick, and they traded back one spot, got the guy that they clearly wanted, and picked up 2 second-round picks essentially for free. So, I mean, it's hard for me to think of a trade that worked better in my mind than that one.
All right, I also want to ask you this. What do you think was the best trade and the worst trade right before draft night? Do you think the Porzingis deal involving Marcus Smart? Do you think Golden State struck gold with CP3? Or do you think Phoenix struck gold with acquiring Bradley Beal?
I mean, this is a bit of a cheap answer, but I think the best and the worst trade was the same trade, and that was the Bradley Beal trade. It was the best trade for Phoenix because, you know, even though they made all those pick swaps, they still picked up a superstar for a pretty light haul. And on the Wizards side, I mean, that no trade clause with Bradley Beal essentially forced them into, you know, giving him up for, you know, they got a bunch of pick swaps, but unless those pick swaps come to fruition, which they might not if the Suns stay good for the next 6-7 years, the Wizards essentially picked up a bunch of second round picks for, you know, one of the superstars of the NBA. And for Rudy Gobert to go for the haul that he did and then Bradley Beal to go for the haul that he did, you know, less than a year later, I think is pretty stark and tells quite strongly just how powerful that no-trade clause Bradley Beal had was, because I don't think this is a trade the Wizards would have made unless they didn't have any other choice. And Beal's no-trade clause essentially gave him the right to give them no other choice. And, you know, he didn't certainly want to handicap his future destination if he had the choice, so I think that was probably the best and worst trade, depending on which side you're looking at it from. And it's not like the Wizards particularly had a choice. And it's certainly not like Phoenix was going to refuse once that offer showed up on their doorstep.
one of the best things about doing business is leverage, and certainly Bradley Beal had a lot of leverage in that deal, and certainly with that no-trade clause. And, again, you heard it from him. He's Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as No Ceilings, Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic.
So you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson. And then for Nets Republic, at Nets Republic on socials. For Hashtag Basketball, at Hashtag Basketball. And for No Ceilings, at No Ceilings NBA on Twitter. And No Ceilings TV on YouTube. And again, all of our written work on NoCeilingsNBA.com.
You heard it from him. He is Nick Agar-Johnson. He is host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, this was a lot of fun as always. Again, thank you, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tons of fun to talk draft and NBA with you. And thanks as always for the invite, and hopefully we can see you again soon.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more right after this.
With the first pick in the 2023 NBA Draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Victor Wembanyama from Nantes, France.
This is just accomplishing something that I've been dreaming of, you know, my whole life. Hearing that sentence from Adam Silver, you know, I've dreamed of it so much that, you know, I gotta cry, man.
That's amazing. We are so proud. We are very happy for you. We are happy for the family, for the friends, for everything, for the basketball. That's so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that I was gonna have tears, because every time I thought about this sentence, like with the first pick and everything, I got this little tears in my eyes, and I knew that I wasn't gonna let them in my eyes. Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
You know, it's a tough league. It's tough to win this league. You know, many players have tried to win for years, for decades, and haven't made it. So my goal is I'm gonna try and learn as quick as possible, because I want to win that ring.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. And a big special thank you to Nick for appearing on the program as we recapped the 2023 NBA Draft. And until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.